Hello, Podwalkers, and welcome back to the Goblin Lore Podcast. And I mean this in the sense of you just heard Taya and I earlier this week. This is episode number 2 for the week, and all of the hosts are here today. So, hello, yeah, because, Alex and Taya.
Yeah, hello. Because we've got something really special today, so we had to make sure everybody was here.
That's yes, right. We have a free preview card that was given to us by Wizards of the Coast that we are going to be sharing with all of you today. So we're going to just start by just sharing who we have. We have Breaches. Yes. Boom goes the dynamite. We have a munitions expert. It is a legendary goblin, and we have it.
He's a goblin with a job. We're very excited.
Yes, that job is making things go boom.
Yeah, like, it both the fact that he has a job is exciting, and the job itself. Yes. Double excitement.
You're saying more than just the pirate job. Yes. So he is the munitions expert in this Oko's crew. And so Breaches is the blast maker. Breaches has moved into red blue. This is cool. I really love this. Mm-hmm. So Breaches has moved into two colors, as has Malcolm, which we'll get to. Cost red, blue, and a 1 for a 3/3. Legendary creature, goblin, pirate. That's already a great start. This is a big goblin.
I like a lot
with
of
menace. Goblin. With menace, too. You get a 3/3 with menace for that.
3/3 with menace. We just could stop there, right? No, we can't. No, our goblins have to do more than that, especially a goblin with a job. So, Breaches reads, whenever you cast your second spell each turn, you may sacrifice an artifact. If you do, flip a coin. 3 of my favorite words on any magic card is flip a coin. And what I love about this is there is no wrong answers. Breaches does something no matter what. So if you win the flip, copy the spell. You may choose new targets for that spell or the copy. When you lose the flip, I don't actually like that it says when, because I'm like, you're just assuming I'm going to, don't you, wizard? You know me. If you lose the flip, Breaches the Blastmaker deals damage equal to the spell's mana value to any target.
It's win-win. You cannot lose this flip.
Right? So it's funny. So I mentioned kind of wanting to do like a question. I said, you know, I was thinking of the songs that we could have, right? I love country music. So people don't know that. I've been posting photos of me, 18-year-old Hobbs, growing up in Southern California, wearing a cowboy hat. I love old country.
Hobbs, this is something where you and I, teenage us, would have disagreed vehemently on. I had a bumper sticker on my car when I was a teenager that said discourage inbreeding, ban country music.
It's funny because it was probably my secondary or tertiary genre in high school. I was way more into like emo and grunge.
Myself. I think we would have agreed there.
Yeah, but the country love that I have, we probably would not have. So I joked that I wanted to give Breaches the Gambler, but the whole point of the Gambler, the song by Kenny Rogers, is you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him, you got to know when to walk away, know when to run. There's a whole joke about you need to have an ace in your hole. Like, he is the gambler that doesn't plan on losing. It's not real gambling. Like all the gamblers that we've talked about in Magic. You have extra thumbs, and you have ways to win your coin flips.
Yeah. You're not losing here. You're either going to copy your spell or do some damage, one or the other. I wish I had artifacts in Nira to sacrifice, because this would go in Nira so quick. And we're going to talk about more about the applicability of this card later, so I'm going to save that discussion for later.
So, Taya, I did prompt you. You had a song. You did come up with one.
I mean, you know, I'm just, this is for me, you know, I think this just makes me go, Breaches makes me think of, you know, click, click, boom, because everything it does is, you know, it's going to explode.
Yeah. Hopefully, if it's done right.
I mean, he always does it right. It always explodes. It doesn't, it may not explode where you want it to explode or when you want it to explode. But it's going to explode.
That's right.
And Alex, did you get a song? Did you remember I posted this question?
I absolutely remembered you posted the question 30 seconds ago when you said it.
That's what I was
So I very hastily Googled songs about explosions, and that didn't help me.
And then TNT, I was thinking,
that's a good dynamite. One. Thinking about songs about pirates, and then I came to my favorite song about pirates, and I think maybe he'd be friends with the characters in this song, but there's a song called We Are the Robot Pirates by a band called Songs to Wear Pants To. That is, well, it's just a bunch of bad robot computer slash pirate puns. I really enjoy this song.
I think he would appreciate that.
So it's funny, Alex, that you're actually saying this. So I highlighted some things about Malcolm. So we haven't done a goblin profile in a while. So we're going to do a goblin profile on
breaches, right? You said Malcolm, so you mean breaches.
Yes, on breaches. They're heterosexual life partners. We've established this. We know this. They're linked in my mind and in the story. And we're doing breaches. We have not done a profile. So when I was doing the research for this, there's actually, when Jace is on Ixalan the first time with like no memory, and one of the first things that he kind of does is he actually remembers like breaches, Malcolm, and like one or like that's all he knows in his life. And there's a line where he starts kind of like mumbling to himself, or he's singing some sort of a song. And Jace's voice was slow asleep. Breeches taught me a song. And Vraska says the one about figs. And Jace just says, it's a rude song. Very rude. He's a rude little goblin. So as soon as you said this, Alex, I was like, yeah. 100%. He is known for chanting.
Yeah.
At the top of his lungs.
Yes.
He does everything at the top of his lungs. If you know, almost all of his text is in caps.
Almost all.
You notice, yeah, especially reading the current story, it's actually an aberration when it is in lowercase. There's like one line he has in the whole story which is in lowercase.
I noticed that as I was reading, and it stood out to me, and I think that's great that there was a line in lowercase, because yes. But I just, his willingness to chant enthusiastically at top volume about anything. The very first time we meet him, he starts chanting about, like, he's chanting about ale and coin, and somebody's like, you owe me money, and he just adds in debt to, like, his chant. He's like, debt, ale, coins. He just, like, adds the word in. Like, yep. So let's talk about breaches. So first thing we know about breaches is from Ixalan. And breaches is a pirate.
Yes.
He was aboard the belligerent Vraska's ship.
Yep. And we talked a little bit, and I think maybe we'll get into more of this later because we want to talk about breaches specifically. And I joked about the pirates, you know, goblins with jobs, but it's a thing that we've talked about on and off for the last few years now, that it was kind of a big deal that at the time we were getting legendary goblins who had classes in their you know, creature types. You have a goblin, you have a job. And so it was good to see goblins be more than just in a lot of fiction. They're the mindless horde of the evil character, you know, the evil villains.
You always had like goblin shaman or goblin mutant or goblin warrior, things like that. But you finally started getting things like goblin rogues or goblin, in this case, pirates, or, you know, kind of more respectable careers.
Yes. And
outside of artificers, I think we talked about this before. Artificers was the one element we got prior to it.
I'm not saying shaman is not a respectable career, that shamans are very valued in their cultures. It's just goblins needed to stretch out their arms and legs a little bit.
Yeah, and a lot of what they were getting was a lot more combat-y focused. And, you know, pirates will combat too, but they do other things. And like you say, that also followed with other types, creature types as well, which was the trend that we saw from this that was really, really good to see. Like our goblin bards we've been seeing recently and things like that.
Yeah, we still don't have a card for Morpho, but we did have that really adorable bard on Ravnica. So, but yeah, we've talked about, like, just like goblins having roles And in Ixalan, he is actually basically like a gunner. Well, that makes him a lot like my buddy Squee. But he's known
it
for...
It does, yeah.
He's known for...
That was Squee's job, for those who don't know. He went from cabin boy to gunner because that would turned out to be the one thing he was extremely good at.
And shocked everybody.
Yeah.
But he's known for his talents in gunnery, knot tying, and like I said, his joke about his expertise in yelling. But I mean, he is like a real member of this crew. I mean, they were setting out to try to steal the Immortal Sun. But while that didn't work, him and Malcolm got very rich. And they're now part of like the Brazen Coalition. This is all comes from the if people want to see this was kind of a cool thing they did with Commander Legends. So we had a lot of story around breaches. Well, sorry. We had breaches in the story for the first Ixalan, but we didn't get a ton other than he was a member.
And they didn't get cards in the first Ixalan.
No.
But they were very popular from the story. Everybody loved breaches and Malcolm when the story came out.
So when they came around to Commander Legends, we got both breaches and Malcolm with partner.
Yeah.
So they were red and blue, so having that partner ability. And there was bios that came out, and that was where we started getting a little bit more fleshing out. Now, when we return to Ixalan, Breaches and Malcolm have a lot more of a bigger role in kind of this, the whatchamacallit, Lost Caverns. Like they actually go down in the caverns.
Yeah, they are a set of the point of view characters for the story. They are the pirate faction point of view characters.
So their kind of role there, they were really being sent to investigate kind of disappearances in the mining town of Downtown, which is a funny name, because they're part of the Brazen Coalition. And that is the town that was under the coalition's control. What's really funny is they just basically end up like getting attacked by like mycoids, which is just really fun to me.
Yeah. And throughout the entire story, all Breaches wants to do is fire this huge gun he found.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing he wants to do the whole story. And he keeps asking Malcolm if it's time to fire his gun.
Yes. Because he found it. What are you supposed to do with a big gun if you found it? And he gets to. He does actually finally get to, right?
Yeah, and he gets to blast apart the big, mean fungus king with it.
The Mycotyrant?
Mycotyrant, yeah. I was having trouble remembering the name because it was,
But Race Elder Fungus.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is. So like, and this, the entire time they are down in the caverns, they are together. Right. That is what we were talking about. Like, I think what's funny is you mentioned a little bit, Tay, about how Malcolm and Breaches were very popular. And I think a big part of that was the fact that we had a siren and a pirate. I'm sorry. Well, they're both pirates. Siren and a goblin who were friends. Right? Like, not a pairing of what you expect at all.
No. And Malcolm is like very prim and proper, and then Breaches is a little ball of chaos.
Yeah, I mean, they very well fit their monocolor identity when we're first meeting them.
Yeah. And two monocolors that, in the sort of structure of the game, are enemy colors. They're the opposites, blue and red. And so to see that friendship between the two of them, that tight bond was... It was good. Like, it's just nice to see the story flesh out things like this more. You know, we talk a lot about, it's just a tiny bit of a tangent, but, you know, when we talk about color combinations, where you have the Boros, you know, but you also, from Ravnica, but you also have Lorehold from, why am I blanking? I'm sorry, the school. It's so having these different.
The Prismari?
Well, the Prismari as well.
From Strixhaven.
Strixhaven. Sorry, I thought you were going for the other color combination.
No, I was just trying to compare two red and white factions that are red and white specifically, not like, say, the Mardu that had black in there at one point, but it has this whole thing. So having those different representations of these color these same colors is great. And to, again, to have a goblin who's pretty red and a siren who's pretty blue, but to be friends and to sort of, not to make too bad of a pun, but to fly in the face of those color expectations so, from a mechanical standpoint is really nice to see.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a cool stuff. I mean, like, and even in the second story for Ixalan, we see like, you know, like Malcolm fights with the mycoids by using his siren song and Breaches 100% just wants to pull a trigger on a gun. I mean, and it's just like, it, but it's worked, like, right? I mean, and that is what I love about it. I wanted to throw another couple really funny lines that stood out to me from the story. So, like, when they are fighting at one point with Vona and Tishana and the Hierophant, like, they're all on the belligerent, you know, we see Malcolm, the siren, and the goblin Breaches leaps forward, and I love his language because he does this a lot in the story for Thunder Junction, which we're going to talk about, where he just yells whatever he's thinking or doing. Yeah. So he just yells violence. Yeah. And then it's like the song stopped. Malcolm cheers and yells, "Go for the eyes, Breaches."
Yes.
So this was before we had an actual like Minsk and Boo.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So like we got
Thank you, Allison Lures.
Yes. But like we got Go for the Eyes Breaches early yeah. on.
Nice.
So we kind of left them, right? We left them on Ixalan. They finished kind of up the fight. What I like about this is there was kind of this discussion about why they were on Thunder Junction. You know, I think that there's been a lot of discussion about that today. I will just flat out say that we're recording on Thursday. A lot of discussion about that concern there. I actually think the Malcolm and Breaches one makes a lot of sense, and they tied it together a lot better because of the final chapter. These two are loyal to Vraska.
Yeah, they didn't care about anything else. As soon as Vraska was gone, they just peaced out.
They peaced out.
Yep.
They like flew off into the sunset. Like literally, I mean, like to
yeah.
start a life somewhere, I guess. We don't know.
Yeah.
But they
yeah.
left. Like yeah. the rest of the gang got back together.
Yeah, they weren't there because Oko recruited them. They were there because Vraska brought them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think
makes sense, like with the time they spent on Ixalan with Vraska.
Yeah, and it's funny, Oko was like, wow, that, you know, it would have been good to have them because they were really good at their jobs. And
yeah, like,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Turns out, you know, Malcolm's other ability of being able to scout is fantastic, and yep. Breaches is very, very good at blowing things up.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take that because there's one specific piece of the story I wanted to talk about when you're talking about blowing things up, because not only is he good at blowing things up, but when they during the story needed to blow something up, like there was a point where everything's set up, everybody's like, okay, how are we doing? You have Breaches. The story says, ready and waiting. Breaches squawked. He's good. He will blow things up in the right time. He's not trigger happy, going to blow things up early. He likes to blow things up, but he will blow them up at the right time.
Yeah, it was really literally what's funny is this was brought up to be kind of like a comedic relief kind of situation where we're all like having like magical walkie talkies. Geese or she's the yeah. one. Yeah. She's the one that we can't actually trust. Yeah.
Yep. No, she's the one who blew the whole train robbery.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one who did her part early. And even while chaos was happening early, Breaches still waited until the right time to set off the explosion.
There also was, why did they have to blow the bridge at all? It's not, you know, what did that buy them in this whole...
I don't know. I think Oko just watched too many Westerns or something.
Yeah.
Because that is the trope for the Western.
Yes, it is the trope. And yeah. I'm just like sitting in this story and I'm just like...
So supposedly it was that they would see the bridge had been blown and
stop the train.
And stop the train.
Right.
And then the train, and then but part of this also comes back to Gissa, because her ghouls attacked the conductor of the train. It doesn't slow down. Yeah,
but they'd already captured the guy anyways. I don't really know why they needed the train to slow down. So
you know, it's contingencies. It's contingencies. Yeah,
contingencies, I guess.
But I, you know, I joked in our Discord and online that I am totally fine to allow breaches in Gissa to plan anything. Yeah. Like, it's fine. Like, I do appreciate what you're saying though, Alex. There is a degree of I can wait for the signal. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be excited.
Oh yeah. But again, that kind of is a fleshing out of characters, because part of Red's color pie is impulsiveness.
It is, and he did such a good job in all of the Return to Ixalan block, too. He held his shot that whole time. And, you know, for a mono Red character, that's a lot of self-control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I appreciate that level of making him not just a caricature. Like, he likes to explode things because goblins love to explode things, but he has that self-control, which I think goes a little bit to the goblin with jobs thing. Like, he has his job, he's gonna do the job.
Well, I mean, what's funny is, like, you know, like, who you would think of being as the stereotypical like chaos gremlin, or goblin in the situation, is Tiny Bones.
Oh yeah, he
fulfills that role.
Yes.
Yeah,
he just steals to steal, like, literal no reason,
just to annoy. Just to annoy.
Just annoy breaches. He flat out, like, he eats stew that he can't eat because it goes through his body.
Yeah,
he steals his flask to drink out of it. Once again, doesn't have a body, steals coins he doesn't need. I mean, like, yeah, like, Breach just shows an incredible amount of patience.
I don't know, he does try to smash Tiny Bones.
Well, you know, yes,
each time he gets robbed, but
Tiny Bones, they deserve it.
Yes, and that's a
Tiny Bones also seems to be immune to smashing, though. So
there's that too. And that's also a situation where Breaches doesn't need to exercise patience, so he saves that for when it's needed.
So I want to talk a little bit about the evolution. So he has been mono red in previous iterations. So we had him first as the version that was in the Commander Legends was the Brazen Plunderer. So that card was the one where basically It cared about pirates, right? So whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to an opponent, exile top card of your library, and then you may play those cards, and you may spend mana of any color. That was the one that had the partner ability. And then he comes back as the Eager Pillager, which I don't remember what the ability is on that one.
Eager Pillager has first strike, changing out his menace. Also a 3-3. That's interesting. He's been a 3-3
on those cards.
But then Eager Pillager also has, whenever a pirate you control attacks, choose one that hasn't been chosen this turn. Create a treasure token, target creature can't block, or exile the top card of your library you may play it this turn.
And so, like, we do know the partner versions were meant to be played together. And,
yes.
You know,
And the partner version of Malcolm plays very well with
the partner version. Creatures. Yeah. So, because it's basically when your pirates deal damage, you get a treasure token, which then lets you cast the spells that you've done.
Right. And the partners for that set were all monocolored, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That was part of the thing. The monocolors to pair either with each other or with the two color ones from the previous commander sets. But also, this Malcolm, like all of them, because he's a siren, has flying, which pairs nicely with breaches, triggering off of pirates dealing combat damage to opponents.
So they both came with, like, some form of evasion, which they can then,
trigger each other's ability too, because they both trigger off of pirates.
So let's talk about them now. So Malcolm was also spoiled today when we were recording this.
Mm-hmm.
We said this at the beginning. Malcolm is now red, blue, and Breaches is now red, blue.
Which is really cool to see. Like, we did a whole episode on this fairly recently about color characters who go through color shifts and kind of how that's represented in story. And sometimes it's a mechanical thing, but it's a fun sort of mythos examination to look at these characters' progression. And this, we have this fun thing where a mono blue character hangs out with a mono red character long enough, and then they both end up having a blue red version.
Yeah. That complementary part of the red blue, and they both work. And once again, so the new version of Malcolm the Eyes, because that's his job, is a red blue 2/2 flying haste. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, investigate. Do y'all remember what investigate
first of all,
does?
Before you even put that ability on the thing, a 2/2 flying haste for two. No. What do you get for two mana nowadays?
Like, yeah, a lot. A lot. Back in my day.
Yeah. Back in my day, that'd get you a grizzly bear.
So the ability here is investigate, which is cool. Thematic, really flavorful with the eyes. And importantly, investigate creates a clue token. And clue tokens
are artifacts.
Yes. And when you clash your second spell each turn, you may sacrifice an artifact. So you have the ability to stack these triggers that basically Malcolm can fuel the artifacts that you need to then sacrifice to breaches.
Yeah, I would be really upset if anybody wouldn't let you rule zero these as partner commanders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they also, as their casting costs too, are two,
yeah,
and
two
three.
And three.
So they curve into each other.
Yeah. I was, you know, if this wasn't a standard set, they'd probably have partner with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that would be cool, I think, with these mechanic with the two of them.
Yeah.
The partner with mechanic, which is a, if people don't know, partner with is different than partner.
Yeah, partner with, you get a specific.
So one thing we're going to be doing, we will be sharing art. We are kind of very fortunate in this free preview that Wizards gave us, in that we get a card with two arts as well. We got one of the special treatments. So these will be posted on all of our socials. You'll be able to see them. You'll be able to look at them, I'm sure, in the spoiler up on Scryfall and everything by this time. But I want to just kind of like highlight the fact that we get kind of the wanted poster version of Breaches, which is by Michael Walsh. So if people don't know, Michael Walsh has done For Magic. He's done others in the set. So he did Oko, because the Oko just went up for sale from this. And then he also did the Secret Lair that had like the Gravecrawler and stuff like that. He's a comic book artist. Yeah. So
I want to say on this art, that fuse is kind of, it's not there anymore. Breaches really needs to get rid of that bomb.
Yeah, maybe waiting a little too long for the right time.
You're worried is what you're saying a little bit?
I'm a little worried here, yeah.
Oh, so that's, yeah, so Michael Walsh is a comic book artist. Now, what he has done for Magic has been amazing. So he did Admiral Brass, where he actually used Jason Rainville's mom as the reference for his version in the Mesoamerican art. He did the Creep Show with the flip side of it with the Death Baron. It's the Death Baron Creep Show. He did the Crawling Chorus, that really creepy triangle art with faces from All Will Be One. Do you all remember this art?
Yeah.
Mine art. So I really do like it. I'm just posting so Alex will have to see this again.
Yes, thank you.
But he did the Oko Thief of Crowns version that is supposed to be like a wanted poster from the newspaper.
Oh, the wanted
poster for Tiny Bones.
Sorry, I did see that. I didn't really need to see it again, but thank you. Okay.
So we get that, right? And it, like you said, Atea, I love the there's like a fuse. It's right down to the hand. It is very comic booky. It's got red and blue tints to the art, basically, to make it have that flair of the coloring in it. The other art is much more of what we expect from Ixalan Goblins in like a traditional. and it's Dmitri Bermak. So if people don't know, Dmitri Bermak is the one who did Muxus.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So this is a nice return for me, at least. I love that art. The Muxus art is one that I'm a huge fan of. Dmitri kind of had done that. And this is Teo, you were saying, of the two versions, actually, this is your favorite of the two arts.
I like this one just because, well, one, it's a classic Western trope. Two, there's a lot going on in it. I like the color. I like the action. The other one is pretty cool, except for Breach is about to blow his arm off. He's just lighting the dynamite here, so he has plenty of time to get away.
The fuse on the dynamite on the bottom of the bridge/rail tracks does not look that long either.
No, but at least there's some there.
Yeah.
At least he can drop off and get caught by Malcolm in this case.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Malcolm is going to probably be close by and flying. So
yeah.
The arts are just, but it is kind of cool getting something this story driven, right? Like Breach's role as the blast maker.
I do have to say, though, like one thing before you go on.
Yeah.
If those are, you know, to the scale of this rail and this dynamite, those cactuses have to be massive.
Force perspective? No. Yeah. Well, we did see a cactus tarantula on this plane.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of nightmare fuel for me on this plane, actually. I expected that with desert animals and there being spiders, but... So, thoughts. Do either of you have a deck that this either goes into or that you are interested, like, to build it?
I already have too many Is It decks, but I really like this card.
Is it a problem to have too many Is It decks?
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, no. Man.
Sorry.
Hobbs.
If I made another Is It deck, I would have like twice as many Is It decks as my next closest number. But
you're saying like Nira,
I would love this to be in Nira, but I don't have enough artifacts in Nira to, because she's all about like second spells and stuff like that. So it's so easy to trigger and copying spells and stuff, but I just don't have enough artifacts to sacrifice in that deck to trigger it reliably. If I had more things that like made treasure, it would be possible, but there's not a whole lot in there that does it.
So I was wondering about that. I was thinking, I mean, theoretically, you hadn't seen Malcolm, I think, when I first had brought this up. So Malcolm, I mean, once again, that the hard
Malcolm
part is right.
Actually, yeah, I mean, I would need both of them to make it in work, play. Though, and I don't know if that's worth disrupting my spell package enough to put both of them in to maybe make this cool thing happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would totally build him or build a Rule Zero Malcolm and Breaches deck.
See, that I think is where I really... Well, so like this goes into a potential build, at least my casual but can't really be ever casual Karkashima build.
That there is no thing casual about that.
This would only be once. I'd only get it like once. Well, so like, yeah, I will say in the very competitive builds, you're looking for one big turn versus my casual one. There are a lot of times I might just want to cast like two spells in a turn, and I would get that copy, that free copy, or domain somebody would be fine. I mean, I would definitely play this in my build that is higher powered, but is... By casual, I mean, it's not built around just like one mana cantrips that all make one mana cantrips or rituals. It does have lots of ways to whiff. I think the first time I ever played it with you all, I managed to like wheel everybody so much and still lose the game. Like, I'm pretty sure Taya, your son, destroyed us in that game. But yeah, sorry. But yeah, so that I would actually put in my build of Quark and Sagashima. That is funny, as I could just build it as a Breach's Malcolm deck, which would potentially be a little more casual just by taking away the redundancy of coin flipping.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, I don't really have a deck. I don't know that I have it strictly is it deck right now. I mean,
gosh, you do now.
I
think it's we're just leading to.
I do love the Vile Smasher-ness of that lose a flip.
Yes.
Which is funny. Oh, how does Thumb work? Could I choose to lose that or do I have to try to win it?
No, you get to choose the result. You choose a result.
Well, that is an odd result. Sorry, I just accidentally typed Quark into Google instead of Scryfall, and apparently there's a bunch of stools that are just called Quark. There's a bunch of Quark stools.
That's a good name for a stool.
Yeah.
I mean, like they said, this to me, I want to flip coins. I want to flip coins to deal damage. So, yeah, I guess I can build another Izzet deck. Make this my flat out just coin flip one, bringing in Malcolm. Like I said, I would totally want to partner these. These are definitely like the story lore type things that I think are partners that people would be hopefully okay with. Because that's what we have. We have Goblin and a Siren that are friends. I have always loved this. I know it's my cheesiness, but I mean, one of the things about Slowbad from the very first profile we did on Slowbad was that he became friends with an elf and a robot. I mean, that's what he was friends with, a golem and a robot. I mean, a golem and an elf. And it was that unlikely friendship. This is something else that we have in these types of relationships, and showing how goblins can care for others and outside of goblins, I think is just something that I'm always drawn to in Magic Story.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a big part of that first profile was highlighting not only, you know, the friendship that they made, but then the fact that Slowbad gave up godlike planeswalkerhood to save his friends.
Yeah.
Like his friendship was that important, and that Karn was offering, well, I can bring you out into the multiverse and show you all the things. He's like, but what I want's right here. I want my friends. And so you see that same powerful friendship between Malcolm and Breeches.
And like I said, the loyalty to the whole crew, like the loyalty to Vraska.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
100% what brought them on this job was not money. I mean, I understand they're set up as the like money hungry, but they've got it on Avalon.
Yeah. Well, they did before the fungus army took over all of the pirate area. I mean, that's the assumption, because the whole pirate town kind of got wiped out.
Okay. So their coin also did, you're thinking?
I'm guessing that they lost their investment in downtown and probably... And the hint at the end of the story that the fungus got away on the pirate ship is probably not a good sign for the future financial prospects of the Brazen Coalition.
Okay. So but they probably did need the money. Well, maybe they're just going to set up life in the desert. We don't know. They literally rode off into the sunset.
They did, but, you know, Jason, Vraska, they're probably just going to pick them up somewhere because they're too good. They're good lackeys.
I thought you were going to say that Jason, Vraska are just good hearted. Like,
oh, carrying. No, no. I was like,
oh,
no, there's no. Breeches and Malcolm are just really good lackeys, and
they
Jason Vraska could use some of those right now.
They are very good at their jobs. So, once again, thank you, Wizards, for this free preview. We are just excited that we got a legendary goblin, especially one that I think I love Ixalan goblins. I love kind of the monkey pirates, and I love. It's a long thing, but goblins are
so cool.
Always get to me. I love it. They need them, and this is just such a great. Just this card is awesome. Like this is a take on red blue that I love to see.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Spellslinger red blue decks, and you know, most of them lack, one of the things they lack is a way to deal damage or win games. It's a big problem with a lot of Nira decks that don't go like Nira Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to do direct damage with this is actually a pretty cool way to move the game along.
And I want to highlight, it just says second spell each turn. That can be creatures. So there is a world where you could be using this to get token copies of like creatures that you want.
Yeah, my Nira deck is mostly creatures as win cons. It's mostly like it's dragons and serpents and other big blue and red beaters.
Yeah, so getting two of those would not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And also per turn, it doesn't say your turn.
It does not say
that. That is another thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would be so good in Nira if I had the artifacts to do it, because Nira is doing all the things this card set does except have artifacts.
So what you really need is you need is you need Malcolm and Breaches, and then Nira just in the deck.
Yeah, I have to gamble for Nira.
Oh, that seems really appropriate. So this is, yeah. Come on, you got this. Well, thank you all for our second episode this week. This, check out the other cards that are coming out for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. And yeah, I guess we're going to find out soon why Jace is Jace again.
And that's our show for today. You can find all of the hosts on Twitter for now. Hobbs can be found at HobbsQ. Tay can be found at Taya Transcends. And Alex can be found at Mel_Chronicler. Feel free to send us any questions, comments, thoughts, hopes, and dreams to the Goblin Lore Pod on Twitter, or email us at goblinlorepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support your friendly neighborhood gobslugs, our link tree can be found on our Twitter account and in the description of today's show. This has everything from various discount codes to the link for our Patreon. The music for today's show was by Vintergotten, who can be found at vintergotten@bandcamp.com. The art was done by Steven Raphael, who can be found at Steve Raffle on Twitter. Goblin Lore is proud to be presented by Hipsters of the Coast as part of their growing Porthos content. Check them out on Twitter at hipstersmtg or online at hipstersofthecoast.com. Thank you for listening. And remember, goblins, like snowflakes, are only dangerous in numbers.